Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Jeremy Scott Fitness Podcast and Radio Show, coming to you on this Friday, March 1st, 2024. Hopefully it finds you staying safe and staying sweaty all at the same time. On today's episode, we are talking about something very basic here that we've all been through: eating when sick. Should you feed a cold or starve a fever and everything in between surrounding not feeling your best, and how to combat that with proper food, rest, recovery, supplementation, and everything in between. We're playing off of a piece from our friends over at Precision Nutrition. Ryan Andrews and Brian St. Pierre have put this bad boy together, and that is what we are going to dig into today. And you guys can maybe tell if you're watching at home on YouTube, I'm doing this from Heather's home office here, just because my schedule has been very funky the last probably week and a half, and this is really the only time I could squeeze it in. And you also probably noticed last week we were not here because I was sick, not feeling well, still not anywhere near 100% today, but man, I was on the struggle bus, not just the sinus congestion stuff. So I'm going to do my best here not to cough and blow my nose repeatedly for you guys. But honestly, like the flu or COVID or something, because man, I had about zero energy. One of the days, like, I don't even know if I got 1,000 steps, just because I felt like I could barely move from like the backyard to my bedroom to the bathroom to the living room, and just you know, things that are not normal, like wearing pants, long sleeve flannel hoodie, and have like 3 blankets on, and then go sit in the sun in my backyard. I'm still shivering, you know, like that's not normal. And then a couple days later, you're sweating through your clothes when you sleep, you know, just all the fun stuff. You know, I work around a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of different stuff comes my way, and sometimes when your number's up, your number's up. So definitely was not on my normal routine. Tried to sleep as best you can, but obviously when you don't feel well, your sleep quality, you know, ends up tracking rather poor. You can't breathe through your nose, all the fun things. So we're going to talk about how to navigate that today on the episode. But real quick before we jump in, just a couple housekeeping things. One, Jeremy Scott Fitness app. So jeremyscottfitness.app. You guys always know you get a week for free. The next program we are rolling through is going to be, I believe, our 30 for 30, which I think we've ran that once prior in the app, kind of like an annual challenge for you guys. Programming-wise, it's great. Challenges you, obviously, each and every week. If you guys are looking for something to do 30 minutes a day, 30 days in a row, this would be the program for you. It's challenging for anybody at any level, but it's a good jump start. And it's something easy that you can do. Again, it's a 30-minute commitment, nothing super insane. And again, if you don't have 5 days a week to train, you guys could literally just rock it 3 days a week, and I think you'd be okay. But the program is designed to go 5 days, and then the weekends gives you some autonomy to kind of ebb and flow, if you will, based on your goals. So if you guys want to check it out, jeremyscottfitness.app. We'll be kicking that off here, I believe, towards the end of March. We just wrapped up our 47-day, which we still need to pick a winner. And the grand prize champion will be flown out here. Same thing for the 30 for 30. We'll do a nice giveaway and some fun stuff from there. And obviously inside the app, you guys get my weekly workouts, full programs, and we're always adding content in there basically nonstop. Also, big up to our friends at Just Meats. If you guys are looking for an easy, high-quality, no artificial colors, flavors, no bullshit, grass-fed, family ranch meats delivered right to your front door, this is who we use. Right now, I think we do have a different code for you, actually, if I'm looking here. You can use the code, is it JScott25? We'll get you guys 25% off everything off the top, and then there's a bunch of other promos that will run inside of that as well. We actually made it last night. We did this Hawaiian chicken teriyaki, which has become one of my favorites. Again, it takes all about 2 minutes to heat up. You guys can freeze it. You can put it in the fridge. Both options work. You can add whatever veggies and sides you want to it, or if you want to go just straight carnivore, and you can eat meat, but ton of stuff in there. They have some awesome Texas brisket. They have some amazing beef teriyaki as well, which I've become a fan of. I like most of the choices. They're now doing ground beef and ground chicken and ground turkey as well. So again, if you guys want to check it out, the link will be in the show notes. I think it's just justmeats.com/discount/jeremys15. And you put in the code JScott25 to save yourself $25 off. And if you have questions, just reach out and ask. Obviously, Heather and I have been making this for probably since the beginning of the year. So almost 2.5 months now at this point. And it's just an easy solution. If you're busy on the go, you got kids, you travel, but you still want high quality meats that actually taste good, they send the marinades with it as well. So just pop that in there, cook it, and you're good to go. And you guys already know the one thing I take every single day, and I never miss. Shout out to my friends at AG1. Not only did this replace my multivitamin probably 6 or 7 years ago, it's way more than that. And I'll talk about this throughout the episode in terms of just immune system and trying to keep you guys on track. Now, obviously, is it 100%? No, you're not bulletproof. Like, things will still come your way, but rarely do I get sick, and when I do, rarely am I run down for more than maybe a day or so. This was the one that did get me, and so I just keep plugging away. But for the most part, 99% of the time, things kind of hit me, and they just kind of bounce off. And I do attribute a lot of that to, obviously, the real food diet that I eat, getting good sleep. And AG1 helps, obviously. There's prebiotics, there's probiotics, digestive enzymes for your gut health, which is a huge part of your immune system. Magnesium, the B vitamins for energy, the support. There's adaptogens in there, vitamin C, zinc, and everything in between. And I think it's the best tasting out there as well. So if you guys want to try a free sample 100% on me, shoot me a message. I don't care where you live at. We will send a free sample right to your front door. You can try it. If you like it, then you get hooked up with a year's supply of free vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with order one. So this is an easy thing to add to your morning ritual or any time of day, honestly. It's just an easy health hack. And think of it as kind of like a foundational nutritional supplement. So instead of buying 14 different pills, you just buy this and you rock and roll and you guys are on your way. So if you want to try it today, drinkag1.com/JeremyScott gets you all the free stuff. Or if you want a 100% free sample, reach out, ask, and I will get it to you guys today. All the other sponsors in the show notes are friends at Dry Farm Wines, JLab Pro, and our friends over at Sleeve Sold Separately. If you guys want discounts on any and all of those things, that is there for you today to check out. Now, we are talking about eating when you are sick. But I did find this thing the other day, actually, before we even kick into that. I think this is over at was it at Humor Resources or No BS Therapist? One of the two. Anyways, just Instagram post. I reshared it on my story the other day. And it's the saying, and I quote, working your job while working on your mental health, while working on your relationships, while working on your physical health, while working on your family, while working on your sleep habits, while working on self-care, while working on exercise, while working on personal goals, while working on not being exhausted, basically. I thought that was interesting just because there is so much out there, so much information, so much, you know, that you're supposed to be doing or you should be doing or you could be doing. And I've talked about this before on here. You just can't do all the things. You really can't, you know. Everything comes at a cost and everything has a price you pay, and there's going to be trade-offs with everything in life. It doesn't matter if it's good for you or bad for you or somewhere in between. There's always going to be trade-offs, and you can't be all things to all people, and you can't always do everything and be everywhere and you know, be the great and powerful Oz to every person who comes into your life. You have to really pick your spots, and it's a lot, man. There's a lot of demand on people if you want to have a successful career or run a business or be in great shape and be a great parent and have amazing relationships, but also be physically healthy and mentally healthy and emotionally healthy and spiritually healthy. It's a lot to chew on. And I thought that was a very kind of well said and an obvious point to kind of throw out there, just because I know a lot of people feel like they should be doing more and they're not doing enough. And, you know, at the end of the day, man, like, you can't do it all. And nobody ever has, and nobody ever will. And you just have to make the best use of your time that makes you the happiest and the healthiest that you can possibly be. That's really all there is at the end of the day. All the other stuff is kind of just noise and kind of just bullshit. I'm not saying don't pursue goals and dreams. That's not what this is. But it's really just understanding, hey, my bandwidth is only so much. I can only do so much of this for so long before it starts to, you know, steal from me. It's what we call in our fitness world, when your fitness steals your fitness. When you're burning the candle at both ends and you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, or, you know, if I can go all day with the terms, you know, stepping over dimes to pick up pennies. You got to really focus on the big rocks, the ones that are important to you, and kind of let everything else fall to the side. It doesn't matter if somebody else is mastering this area or doing that. That's why we don't play the comparison game. We just focus on doing the best that we can. What are the things that bring me the biggest ROI in all areas of my life? And double down and focus on those and just leave the other stuff where it lies. So with that, we are talking about when you don't feel well, what to eat, you know, what you can do to your diet, to your supplements, to, you know, maybe recuperate and recover faster. But I guess first we'll start with just the immune system, right? Like a primer. You know, your immune system is this intricate, complex, amazing thing. You know, it's what keeps us rolling. Again, you guys, just a reminder, if you do hear some dogs barking or something going crazy, just know I have a 14-year-old here and I have a puppy here. And one is old and slow and quiet, and one is a psychopath little baby shark. And if you hear some disturbances, my apologies, but this is the only way this episode is getting out today. And sometimes when you work from home, that's what you get. So the immune system, it's the security that stands through every part of your body. It protects you from endless germs and fungi and viruses that threaten to literally, you know, tear your body apart and, you know, put you in the dirt, if you will. In fact, when we eat, our immune systems get, they get into the act right off the bat. Soon as you pop food into your mouth, your immune system is rocking and rolling. I mean, again, some of you guys might not know, your saliva actually contains powerful antimicrobials that help you, kind of like as your front line of defense. They're basic. You know, any germs that sneak past your saliva are going to be confronted with a much more gangster barrier, your stomach's hydrochloric acid. Some of you know, some of you don't, but hydrochloric acid is corrosive enough to remove rust from steel. So that is the thing that is inside of your body. Hydrochloric acid will literally just murder most invaders in your stomach before they can reach your intestines. And that's the beauty of being a human. So saliva is like kind of like the front layer, you know, top flight security of the world. But then you get past that, it's like you have this steel trap of a vault in your stomach to protect you before things actually hit the intestines. Now, if your stomach acids do lose the battle, we also have proteins and chemical compounds further down the digestive chain that can sense and fight any harmful bacteria that have made it past. And then obviously, finally, our own personal, you know, bacterial population are those probiotics you hear so much about that help prevent harmful bacteria from entering your bloodstream, taking root in the small intestine and the colon. And the foods we eat obviously affect these bacteria and the complex compounds that are released. And so obviously we always talk about eating raw food, whole nutrient dense food. Fiber rich whole foods tend to promote kind of a more healthy bacterial balance, and a diet, you know, that are richer in processed foods and fats and sugars can lead to a microbial kind of imbalance. That's why, again, we talk about eating whole, real, nutrient-dense foods that run, that swim, that fly, that grow from the earth. If they can be organic, even better. That tends to be your best insurance against all types of viruses and infections. In fact, your GI tract makes up about 70% of your immune system. Think about that. Your GI tract, so your digestive tract, if you want to think of it as your stomach, your intestines, your colon, makes up about 70% of your immune system, the thing that keeps you healthy. And so understand that what we eat dramatically affects the immunity in our body on so many levels. Now, If we talk about eating and immunity, if your diet is shit and lousy, you'll get sick more often than somebody who eats a healthier diet. That's pretty much how it rolls. Now, obviously, there's going to be outliers here and bad things happen to good people. And sometimes food poisoning and luck of the draw will roll your way. But overall, generally speaking, if your diet is trash, you'll be sick more than somebody who eats a healthier diet. It's common sense. Viruses, bacterial infections are going to hit you hard and keep you out longer. Meanwhile, people who are eating poorly, who are sick, are only going to get sicker and sicker and sicker. They don't have the necessary tools to fight off the germs that are in their body, because good nutrition allows your body to respond to these invaders, the germs, the viruses, quickly and efficiently. In order to function well, the cells of your immune system need plenty of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential fats. So obviously, when we talk about nutrition deficiencies, they are more common than we think in a lot of areas. And I'm going to kind of talk through the availability of foods in the body and which ones can help and which ones maybe hinder. But just know, if you're trying to be a healthy person and you find yourself getting sick more often than you'd like, obviously, you know, your environment, how run down you are, and obviously some of us in fitness can sometimes, you know, overtrain or undersleep or underrecover, if you will. Or just stress of life, obviously mixed in with the training and work and just all those things. That does have an effect, and it can wear us down, and it can impair our immune system. That's why I do think it's so vital to get vitamins, minerals, aminos, and the essential fatty acids. Obviously, why Slam and AG1 is super easy to get the vitamins and the minerals. And if you guys are eating enough high-quality, you know, legit proteins, you're pumping in the amino acids and obviously the essential fatty acids. Whether you guys are doing fish oils, krill oils, chia seeds, and all the healthy fats you need in the diet. So if we move on from just the basic of you have to eat real food, and the better food you eat, the better you're probably going to feel overall, and the better your overall immune system will function. Prebiotics and probiotics. Now, prebiotics and probiotics deserve special mention to help prevent illness. Both are essential to the gut, and gut health is essential to immunity. Again, I'm not trying to sell you guys an AG1, but they do have prebiotics and probiotics in there, so it's a win-win across the board. I do also think it's important for you guys to eat probiotics in your diet, which we'll talk about as well. But prebiotics, aka the food for bacteria, helps nourish the good microbial friends, usually in some form of semi-digestible fiber that our bacteria can kind of chow down on and help move food through the GI tract. And probiotics, the bacteria themselves, have been shown to help us recover faster once we get sick. That's why you should ensure that your system is well colonized with these friendly critters. It's why it's important to have good gut bacteria versus just trashy gut bacteria. You've heard a lot of the buzzwords. We've had Dr. Amy Shaw on here before talking about gut microbiome and the environment of the gut and all those things. If you want to break it down in specifics, the best whole food sources of prebiotics would be things like vegetables, asparagus, garlic, artichokes, leeks, onions, barley, beans, oats, potatoes. For fruits, you're talking apples, bananas, berries, citrus, kiwi, and fats, we're talking flax seeds and chia seeds. Those would all be in kind of the prebiotic category. And the best whole food sources for probiotics, you're looking at like real dairy products. So your yogurts, the cheeses, the kefir with live and active cultures, fermented vegetables, the things like pickles, Grillo's makes great pickles. They're probably our favorite here. Sauerkraut, the kimchi. If you're looking at fermented soy, if you're a soy person, the miso, tempeh. And then obviously miscellaneous things like soy sauce and wine do tend to have probiotics in them as well. So I do think it's important to have a proper supplementation around obviously the diet, but getting probiotics from food, if you're healthy and you're focused on it, I would aim for 1 to 2 servings of probiotic rich foods each day. If you're hoping to prevent, any sickness and medical issues that come your way, maybe you could even increase the dose, but I would say if, at least for everybody, you could do 1 to 2. Not real hard to throw pickles and some, you know, blueberries into your diet each and every day. Now, obviously, getting probiotics from supplements, the doses, you know, are usually expressed in the billions of live organisms, depending on, you know, what type of supplement you're taking, whether it's 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion to 5 billion for starting doses. Some people want stuff that's more extreme. You could go as high as 10 billion if you're hoping to alleviate specific health concerns. Choosing a reputable brand, taking it with food and water, I think is obviously probably the easiest route to go. Getting prebiotics from food now. If you're healthy, I would aim for 2 to 3 servings of prebiotics for food each day. So again, you can mix and match these as well, you guys. But I think, you know, from probiotics, if you get 1 to 2, and prebiotics like 2 to 3, super simple. So if I went through my day, what does that look like? Well, if I'm doing oatmeal, boom, oats are in there. I usually eat an apple each day. I do a lot of berries as well. I do chia seeds every single day. I try to throw the Grillo's pickles in as well. And then the vegetables we tend to eat here, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, cauliflower, and I am a potato fan as well, depending on, you know, what's going on in my day, in my diet, I'll throw those bad boys in on top of that. So if we are talking about just from food, prebiotics, 2 to 3 servings a day, I think would be ideal. If you're getting prebiotics from like a supplement, taking 2 to 4 grams per day can help feed a healthy gut and keep things balanced. I think supplementing with both pre and probiotics at the same time might be a good idea for most people. For a lot of people, if you're really going to switch things up and you've never really focused on prebiotics or probiotics, it is possible at first you don't feel better. You may actually feel worse since the bacteria does release toxins. But ride it out for a few days, see what happens, and you should be rocking and rolling. Obviously, I'd be cautious out there. Again, this is not medical advice. This is just a dude who in a warehouse who does fitness and talks about health and nutrition for a living. There is immune-compromised people who can get infections from probiotics and the microbes. So people who are taking, like, you know, immunosuppressing drugs, receiving radiation, chemo, you're in the hospital, these types of things. So obviously, always check with your doctor before you start any type of new supplement or, you know, diet, exercise, you know, fitness regimen. Now, to eat or not to eat, that is the question here. Well, depends. And we'll talk about how there's no perfect answer here later on, but obviously whole nutrient-dense foods with prebiotics and probiotics go a long way from protecting you from viruses and bacterial infections. But even the healthiest diet can't ward off every single illness that comes your way, albeit I'm living proof of it, still feeling like a bag of shit as I talk to you guys today. But if you do get sick, you do obviously want to recover faster. And so should you feed a cold and starve a fever, as the famous saying goes. There's no definitive answer, but there is a small study that did find that eating helps combat a cold virus and fasting allows the body to fight fever-related infections. But the study is far from conclusive, especially when the findings kind of remain unclear. I've never seen anything that's clear-cut saying you should, you know, actually eat when you have a cold and you should fast when you have a fever. It really comes down to you and how you're feeling. A lot of time, like, I didn't eat much last week for sure. Definitely lost weight. Definitely felt weak as hell. And kind of really wouldn't eat much until the end of the day. And it was just, I was making the best choice, you know, with how my body was feeling. But what we do know is that moderate calorie restriction can, you know, when you're not eating as much as normal, it can improve cell-mediated immunity. It can offset aging-related changes in the immune function by helping replenish stem cells. On the other hand, during periods when you have very low food intake, your defense system against certain pathogens are lower, and your immune system can be suppressed. And so in the most severe cases, you really obviously, for me personally, I go off of appetite, you know, with my illness, and do a lot of things like bone broth, a lot of clear liquids. I do the whole kind of chicken soup thing. I'll do water. I'll try to get electrolytes in there. Really not drinking any coffee or doing anything like that just because I'm run down and my stomach was not cooperating like it should either last week. So obviously there's that. Try to keep the same kind of supplement regimen, maybe up the vitamins and minerals a bit to kind of help me with that. But obviously when you're not feeling good, you really have to listen to your appetite cues. That's for the most part going to give you the clearest picture of what you should eat or avoid eating when you do get sick. So for example, very few of us want to eat when we get hit by influenza or by any kind of gastrointestinal issues. Why I wasn't super hungry last week. I felt nauseous sometimes at night. I just felt kind of, you know, sick to my stomach during the day. So didn't want to eat. Because obviously flu-like bugs like that, the bacterial infections lead to kind of higher levels of like the inflammatory cytokines, which promote appetite suppression. Maybe that's the body's way of kind of guarding it as a resource, who knows? But after all, you know, digesting food does take a fair amount of energy, and energy that could be used to kind of fight off invaders when we're sick. So it's an interesting thing to kind of think about, but obviously it's speculation at best. You really have to listen to your body and what it's telling you and, you know, go based on how you feel. Now, if we move into the role of inflammation, like what do we know that behavioral and metabolic factors can influence immunity? Obviously, if you want to go specific hormones, like your hunger hormone, ghrelin, may inhibit the creation of pro-inflammatory compounds. And this can be a good thing or a bad thing depending on the circumstance. And you're probably like, Jeremy, what the hell does that mean? Well, for one, inflammation does help us fight off invading pathogens. So we do need inflammation in the body. If you had none, you would just be dead as soon as something came your way. So inflammation in a small amount in this, the way that I'm describing it, does help fight off invading pathogens. But too much inflammation will make our symptoms worse. Like that chronic inflammation, that is not what we want. But you do need some in your body. For example, like a fever will increase your metabolism as well as your body temperature. This in turn improves your body's chances of fighting off a bug, speeding it up through the process. At the same time, a fever can also dehydrate you, which makes it harder to move pathogens through the body. That's why they say obviously stay hydrated. And again, bone broth, a chicken noodle soup, the clear fluids, doing mostly waters for me. I would do a couple Sprite Zeros as well. Obviously, if you look at infection itself, it can increase your body's nutrient needs, especially for fluid, protein, and several microtrace nutrients. Moreover, specific nutrients can affect immune function. A particular nutrient might be a source of fuel for the immune system cell, or it might influence other tissues that regulate overall immune function. All in all, we're talking about a super set of kind of complex relationships. Probably no wonder that scientists have not got to the bottom of this at this point. So with all that word garbage said, consider that colds often result from viral infections and fevers often result from bacterial infections. And the advice to eat when you have a cold and fast when you have a fever does have some plausible biological arguments, if you will, which is why in cases of mild to moderate illness, it's likely to kind of, you know, give it a try, especially if your appetite agrees. But if you feel like shit and you feel like you shouldn't eat, you shouldn't eat. If you feel hungry and like you're weak and you need to eat some food, you should eat some food. But I would probably, you know, keep it light and not eat these super heavy meals because I can, you know, bog down the system and it could actually make things worse. So if we talk about whole foods and immunity, and I mentioned some of these already. Let's say, obviously, you're a person like me who gets sick despite all the precautions and your appetite doesn't entirely disappear. Are there particular foods that could speed up the recovery? Yes, I believe that there are. A lot of these you guys have heard from your moms and your grandmas throughout the years. And I'll go through them here quick. Maybe they'll help you if you find yourself not feeling great right now. Garlic can act as an antibiotic. It's been consistently found to lessen the severity of cold and infection. Obviously, like I mentioned, chicken soup. When I do the chicken soup, we obviously have a partnership with Kettle and Fire Bone Broth. So I do the bone broth chicken soup. It's obviously been touted, you know, as a treatment and a food for colds for as long as we've probably been humans. Chicken soup does actually work, provides fluids, electrolytes. It's warm, it's soothing. It can also contain anti-inflammatory properties to decrease cold symptoms. Use real chicken soup, you know, the real ones. Try not to grab the overly processed bullshit. I do think Kettle and Fire makes a good one, but there's other great brands out there as well. Green tea. Green tea can boost production of B cells and antibodies, helping us rid ourselves of invading pathogens. Honey has antibacterial and antimicrobial properties, which is effective for cough suppression. There is a study out there that showed that it was effective as a cough suppressive drug, just as much as any other, you know, I guess kind of pharmaceutical, you know, made version would be out there. So a few teaspoons and a cup of green tea is probably all you need, plus the benefits from green tea at the same time. So a win-win across the board when you guys aren't sick, especially if you have some of that kind of sinus congestion-y junk going on. And then a lot of you probably heard about elderberry supplements, but elderberries obviously have an antiviral property that's loaded with phytonutrients. There is a small study that they found elderberry extract reduces the duration of colds and upper respiratory tract infections. Probably why you've seen it on the supplement shelves touted as such. Now, if we're talking about nutrients and immunity, obviously, nutrition science loves to really study isolated nutrients, but that's really not how we eat as humans. We know focusing too much on the details can sometimes lead people to forget the bigger picture. That's why I talk about obviously eating whole, real, nutrient-dense foods. Now, if you look at specific nutrients that can provide insight into your metabolic pathways and the effects of individual nutrients for a specific circumstance, this is kind of the sciencey, nerdy stuff, if it helps any of you guys listening. A major drop in energy can depress your immune system. This explains why many people get so sick for a week or so after they start, you know, kind of like a crash diet, if you will. Some of you may experience this. Obviously, if you look at inadequate or excessive intake of protein, iron, zinc, magnesium, selenium, copper, and vitamins A, C, D, E, B6, B12, and folic acid, these things may decrease the ability for the body to enlist immune defenses. So I do think it's important to have, you know, adequate amounts of vitamins and minerals in the body. If you look at, you know, long-term nutrition deficiency, whether it's minerals, vitamins, proteins, and calories, it can reduce the immune system's ability to respond. Again, that's why malnutrition and certain types of disordered eating actually wear you down over time. Again, it's why we talk about getting enough essential proteins and enough essential fats in your diet so you do feel your best and you can fight things off when they do come your way. Now, consistently overeating or eating more than the body needs might also compromise how your immune system responds to invaders. Dietary fats become part of cell membranes in the body and thus influence how cells respond to invaders. Some fats seem to disrupt the immune function. So again, the high quality fats, certain omega-3s can help kind of regulate the immunity. But too many saturated and like omega-6s sometimes can actually make you feel worse. So again, I say all this to say real food is the key. Eating things that run, that swim, that fly, that grow from the earth, protein, produce, and water consistently is going to be your best bet. Obviously, if you're somebody who's eating a highly processed diet with added sugars that have a super high glycemic index load, that can obviously, you know, if you do it enough, reduce your white blood cell count and be kind of pro-inflammatory, so pro-inflammation. For some types of people, gluten can have a similar response if you're eating too much. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of eating, you know, grass-fed, legit, high-quality proteins. Obviously, dietary protein insufficiency can lower your immunity. So at each meal, again, you guys should aim to have like 2 palms of protein-dense foods. If you're a dude, women, at least a palm full. If you're counting macros, even better. But I do think it's important to have high-quality proteins in your diet if you want to be as strong and as functional as possible. Other ones that I always throw into when I don't feel good, making sure I have enough iron and enough zinc. It's essential for cell replication. Basically, think of like having enough zinc and iron as a key component to a well-functioning immune system. And if those processes aren't functioning properly, it's tough, you know, for bone marrow to produce more white blood cells, thus in terms harming our immunity. So overall, both nutrition deficiencies and even sometimes over-supplementation of the wrong things can actually diminish the body's natural antioxidant defenses. So as always, like most things in life, balance is the key. If we want to talk about specific supplementation outside of that, obviously for me, AG1 becomes the base. But if I was going to throw anything on top of that just because I felt I needed it and I was not getting a sufficient amount, obviously vitamin C supplements, very popular. Zinc, like I mentioned, elderberry is great, elderberry extract. Ginseng can be great for people as well. Quercetin, which I tend to take daily anyway, may also assist in immune function. If you're looking at a number, could be up to like 1,000 milligrams a day, daily for 3 weeks. If you're looking at where is quercetin found in foods, things like onions, apples, red wine, broccoli, tea, ginkgo biloba. I never can say that right. Ginkgo biloba? Such a strange word. Beta-glucan found in oats can help with immunity. Stevia, there's studies that show it might even enhance white blood cell activity. Selenium, consuming foods that are rich in vitamin E, nuts, olive oils, avocados also can help. They can be shown to help T-cell function and might lead to less influenza and less respiratory infections. So what can you do right now to prevent yourself from getting sick? All things you guys have heard me say, over 580 episodes at this point. But obviously, if you're feeling a little bit run down, if you're finding yourself in a space where you just don't feel optimal, or maybe you just want to get ahead of the game and really, you know, lay the foundation and put these pieces into play, what would I do to prevent myself from getting sick? And I try to do this each and every day. Avoid over or under exercising. I'm much better doing this now than I was years ago. I don't really under exercise. I never over exercise anymore, and I do the best I can. Like if we go in this week and do a Sunday Metcon, this is going to be like a 50% day for me. I might even just walk with a ruck pack, honestly. I didn't go last week at all. I really couldn't exercise. I did some basic mobility and rolling, but man, my body just was beat to shit. And I didn't want to make it worse. And I'm like, what's the point of training when you're not building anything and you're literally just, you know, going to break your body down more and more and more? It needs the energy to repair and to recover. So you have to avoid over and under exercising. You also have to avoid over and under eating. You can't eat too little. And I don't think eating too much is good for you either if you're trying to fight off infection and you want to avoid getting sick. Most of you know this, maintaining a healthy body weight. Don't be, you know, 25 pounds underweight, but don't be 50 pounds overweight. Make it easier for immune system to kind of work and fight as it needs to. Obviously, washing your hands, super simple stuff. Easier said than done, depending on where you work and how often you touch and interact with people. And I touch equipment and floors and things all day, every day. And that's a rough one for sure, but I do the best I can. Getting enough sleep consistently. I've been tracking my sleep super deep. I'm happy to do a sleep podcast for you guys. Actually, last night, it says I had my best sleep score yet. Now, when I was sick, I actually had the first ever poor. They kind of rate you. I don't know all the ratings, but I've seen good. I've seen fair, I've seen excellent, and I've seen poor. And last week I had a couple in terms of if you want to track like numbers, if like 100 is a perfect score, I had some last week that was 55 and 53. Those were my two, the first two poor scores that I received. And then last night, actually, it says I had an excellent sleep score of 90. And that's the first excellent one I've ever got. I usually get a good or a fair. And I've been pretty good with my, the time I go to sleep and the time I wake up and my sleep routine. It's become a whole thing. It's crazy. You've probably seen that meme out there where it's like when you're, you know, 20, in your 20s, you fall asleep like on a couch with, you know, one leg on the ground, you know, three beer cans laying on you and you're dead asleep and you wake up and you're fine. And then by the time you're in your mid-30s and past 40, it's like you got a fucking mouth guard in and an eye mask and you're in a blacked out room. You took 8 sleep supplements. You meditated for 22 minutes. You got 3 fans on and you got a specific pillow and a blanket and the way you lay. And it just, it's become a whole chore. And, I don't know if I romanticize how I slept when I was super young, and maybe I vilify it now, but I don't really remember doing all these things years ago, and I would just fall asleep and wake up and feel like I would kind of be fine. But as you get older, things obviously, you know, sometimes change, and so you gotta, it's like doing mobility. It's like, did you do a lot of mobility when you're 17? Probably not. You probably didn't really need to either. And then by the time you're 37, you're like, shit, I actually have to get loose and warm up before I go run around so I don't rip and pull and tear something. I guess the sleep kind of tracks the same. So I do think getting enough sleep consistently enough, you know, a mix of light sleep and REM sleep and deep sleep is crucial and important. A lot of you guys, whether you know it or not, you get most of your deep sleep probably prior to midnight. So if you're going to sleep after midnight, you might not be getting as much as you need to let those muscles recover and repair. And obviously getting the REM sleep typically tends to be when you dream to, you know, kind of help you deal with stress and improve mood and memory coding and all the important things. So I do think sleep is critical. Obviously managing stress just in life in general, which is easier said than done. Sometimes life throws things at you and you can't really, you know, you do the best you can with the tools in your toolbox. Managing stress is going to help you guys not be as sick as often. Eating plenty of nutrient-dense foods, feeding your body the healthy bacteria that we talked about. I do think for some people, fasting can be super helpful and useful. It's what I do each and every day. I've been doing it for the better part of, you know, shit now over 15 years. Also, I think for a lot of people, consider supplementing like a vitamin D. The D3 with the K2, which we do give you with your Athletic Greens and your AG1 if you guys want it. And just making sure you have a wide spectrum of food-based, you know, vitamins and minerals. But recognize, like, if you're not eating a balanced diet and a whole food diet, supplementing with, you know, things like probiotics, they're not going to fix it, right? You got to address your diet first. I can't say that enough. Like, obviously, I have a huge partnership with AG1. These guys have been great. Kettle and Fire Bone Broth has been amazing. Like all these guys, J-Lab's been awesome with the supplements that we take with him, the turmeric, the collagen, the krill oils. But you got to address your diet first. You don't spend $400 on supplements and then spend $50 on the food you eat. It's the inverse of that. Like if you spend $1,000 a month on food and you spend $100 a month on, you know, AG1 or something, like I think that's fine. So that's critical. Address your diet first. It's, you know, let food be thy medicine, as the saying goes. It's, there's nothing else more important than the food that you're probably putting in your body. Now, if you already feel sick, like me, drink a lot of fluids, especially water and green tea. Let your body rest. Let your body recover. Focus on immune-boosting foods. Supplement as you need to. And use the immune-boosting supplements to help your body, again, on top of what you guys are eating. And if you're hungry and you can't eat, that's when, you know, the liquid nutrition does come in handy. But in the end, no matter how you're going to manage your nutrition, your exercise, your sleep, and your stress, you're going to get sick sometimes. We all do. It's like father time is undefeated. Nobody, you know, none of us is getting out of this game of life alive, you know. So when you do feel run down and you do feel not your best and things are just beating your ass, and you know, like when it's just maybe allergies or just the sniffles, and then you know when something is not right, my advice to you is don't wear it as a badge of honor. Don't be that guy. Don't be a hero. And don't pretend you're not sick when you're sick. Instead, take the steps that I talked about above here to get back on your feet as quickly as possible. Because again, being sick is the worst, and there's nothing worse than not feeling good and then trying to fight through it and then just making it worse. And you end up being down for, you know, longer and longer and longer. And it's just a longer, you know, kind of road to recovery. So hopefully that helped you guys. The biggest takeaway is things you should just know. Just really, if you can, you know, on top of all the things I mentioned, I did just try to get outside each day. You know, just, and again, I'm lucky enough to live in a place where the weather's nice. And so I could sit in the sun, do some grounding, try to get sleep, and really just focus on, you know, what foods are going to help me with inflammation, how much, micronutrients can I squeeze into my body, and then just eating foods that agreed with me and that made me feel good, and then not doing anything to, you know, overly exert myself. And it's okay to take a sick day. It's okay to live to return emails and phone calls another day. It's okay to cancel and move appointments if your body is beat down. I used to be a complete dummy, and I would just fight through everything and go to work and just kind of push through. But sometimes you can't do that. And the older you get, I think the dumber it is that you do it. You know, when you're 22, maybe it's something you want to do. But you don't bounce back as much. And I said this because I felt so weak. Like, how many assault bike cows could I have gotten in a minute? And I'm like, I don't think I could have got you five. Like last Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. I don't think I could have got you five calories in a minute. That's how little energy I had. I just felt so weak and run down. And like, if Heather was to like punch me or something, I feel like my whole body would have just, you know, crumbled like a piece of paper, you know, like she could have folded me up like a lawn chair. Like, I just didn't feel like I had any energy or any juice. And it's like, even just walking around was a chore. And that's when you know you're not feeling well. And I couldn't imagine being, you know, 85 years old and having that hit you. It just would be really, really tough, because as weak as I felt being this age and being this, you know, relatively, you know, healthy and fit, that's how I was struggling. So again, take care of yourselves, you guys. Put yourself in the best position to fight off everything that comes your way, and know that you're never going to go 100 for 100. Some things are going to creep up, but if you kind of follow these pieces here into play, you'll be back on your feet sooner than later. So, end of the day, eating when you're sick, should you feed a cold or start a fever, starve a fever, it really just depends on you and how you feel and your hunger cues and what's going on in your body. But I do think for a lot of you, staying hydrated, resting, adding in bone broth and the legit micronutrients into your body is going to be critical. And if there's certain supplements you guys aren't taking or things that you might think you're missing, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to answer any questions here. We've probably had somebody talk about it on a podcast, or I've already talked about it myself on this podcast ad nauseum. But hopefully that helps. Being sick is never fun. And I did not have the greatest week here, but I'm here right now and doing my best to deliver to you guys, and then hopefully just get outside today, move around a little bit, do some work calls, and just keep feeling better. So if you guys have any specific questions, please reach out and ask, or certain guests or requests for the podcast, we're happy to get to them. If you guys do want a free sample of AG1, obviously hit me up. We do have the JScott 25 discount on Just Meats as well, to get you guys all the proteins and amino acids into your body. Again, I do love how it tastes. It's made my life a whole hell of a lot easier here at home, especially when I was sick, being able to heat food up in 2 minutes or have Heather do it, and just, you know, throw some chicken into my bone broth chicken noodle soup was actually pretty tasty. And I think helping me get back on the road to recovery. So if you guys want to check those out, hit me up. If you want to join us for the 30 for 30 challenge coming mid-March, that'll be in the Jeremy Scott Fitness app as well. All those things are in the show notes. If you're on Apple Podcasts, drop us a 5-star, leave a comment. We'd appreciate it. Same thing for Spotify. You guys can drop comments and leave reviews there too. And if you love what we do, we'll take a Google review as well. Selfishly, it helps our business. And I wish you all a healthy, happy weekend here. If it's March where you're at, hopefully the weather's starting to get, you know, a little bit nicer, a little bit warmer. You can get out, get some vitamin D, breathe some fresh air, and just, you know, do the things that you love to do, because that is what it's all about at the end of the day. So I thank you guys who watch on YouTube. I thank you guys for the support here. Feel amazing. If you're going through some sickness, follow the tips. And I look forward to speaking with you guys here in a couple of days. So until next time, eat well, train hard, be nice to people. And please, you guys, keep doing shit you love with people you enjoy, because your life is too short not to. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.